ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
So God the Father, God the Son, we've seen that picture so far. And now we're going to look at God the Holy Spirit. And we'll see that as we pick up here in Genesis chapter 24, starting in verse 1. Where we're told this. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." Now, we don't know the age of Abraham here. He's at least 137 years old because he's 10 years older than Sarah, who died when she was 127 years old. So just, you know, doing the math, could he have been a little bit older? Yeah. And according to Genesis 25:20, he was 140 years old when a wife was found for Isaac. Again, it's going to take some time to find this wife, and we'll talk about that. But Isaac is not married yet. What does Abraham do? He sends his oldest servant to find a bride for Isaac. And Abraham is very specific. Don't get a bride for her among the Canaanites. I want you to go to my country. Eliezer is the oldest servant, we're told in Genesis chapter 15. He's going to go to Mesopotamia for a wife for Isaac. It's 500 miles away. It's going to take him months to go. So that's why I say, you know, add some years on. He's at least 137 years old, but by the time there's a bride, he's 140. So there's some few years at least that pass by. And why not from the line of Canaan? Because it's a cursed line. He wants the line of Shem, Abraham's family. And again, the Bible says we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The name Eliezer is interesting. It means God of help or comforter. So the father Abraham is sending the comforter out to do what? To find a bride for his son Isaac. And again, that sounds very familiar to me. In fact, John 14, verses 16 and 17. "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus is saying that the Father is going to send out a helper, a parakletos in the Greek, or a comforter, one who comes alongside to help, the Holy Spirit or the God of help. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to draw us to Jesus, to draw out a bride for Christ. And what's interesting as we go through this chapter, his name is not mentioned, which is strange. It was mentioned in chapter 15, but now the Holy Spirit edits out. We don't know the name of the serpent. The only reason we do is because of what we're told in Genesis chapter 15. Why? Because he's not to draw attention to himself, but to point the bride to the Son. Huh. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, reveals Jesus to us. In John 15, 26, Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." John 16, verses 13 and 14. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So that's the mission of the Holy Spirit. One of the missions of the Holy Spirit is not to draw attention to himself, but to point people to Jesus. But there's more. Look at here in chapter 24, look at verse 5. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this master. So obviously, the servant is a little concerned, right? Maybe she won't want to come back. What if I brought Isaac with me? She sees him. She falls in love with him. That would be a lot better. And Abraham said, no, no, no. Isaac must not return with you. He must remain in the land of promise. Eliezer, you are to go get a bride for him. And then there's this oath. And you think about, how does this relate today? The Holy Spirit, again, is drawing us to Jesus, whom we've never seen. All we have is what? The testimony of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's all we have. The next time Jesus comes back to the earth is in judgment at the end of the tribulation period. The Son must not go. The Comforter must go alone. And I'm not saying that this is the next time we see Jesus, but the next time we see him on earth is when he comes in judgment. He's coming again for his bride. And if Eliezer is representing the Holy Spirit drawing out a bride for Isaac, let me ask you this, can he fail? No, Eliezer cannot fail. He's going to get a bride for Isaac. Let me put it this way, can the Holy Spirit fail? No. Holy Spirit's going to gather a bride for Jesus. Will there be some who reject Jesus? Absolutely. But there will be a bride for Christ. And we're all part of that, and all our brothers and sisters throughout the world. He's going to complete the work. Look at verse 10 here in Genesis 24. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please, let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So the servant is sent out on this long journey. He gets to Nahor. It's going to take him a long time to get there. And he's just outside the city at the watering hole, and he's praying. And he says, Lord, show me the right woman and help me to understand, discern your will. If this woman gives me a drink and then says, hey, I'm going to give you a drink for your camels as well, Lord, let that be the one. What's interesting is Eliezer says, is not saying, you know, she really has to be beautiful, about this tall, blonde hair or whatever, blue eyes, green eyes. I better say green eyes or I'll be in trouble, right? Because that's my wife's color eyes. He didn't say any of that. He's looking for an inward beauty. How do I say that? Why do I say that? Because she's going to give water to these camels. And one camel can drink 20 to 30 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. So there's 10 camels that Eliezer has. Let's say they only drink 20 gallons each. Some 200 gallons of water. The stone that she would carry holding the water probably weighed some 10 pounds. So maybe some 35 pounds she's carrying. And it took her at least an hour or more. What a remarkable woman if she does this. And the wells, you know, we think of wells today as, you know, having the bucket and, you know, lowering the bucket and rolling it back up and getting the water, emptying it out. No, a lot of these were cisterns that collected water, so you had to walk down some steps to get to it. Sometimes there were 50 or 100 steps you had to go down, get the water, carry it back up, give it to the camels, go back down, do it again, over and over and over again. Now, these providential circumstances, we have to be careful with, because we can manipulate them. You know, Eliezer could have tried to do that. That wouldn't have been a good thing, but he doesn't. But let me give you a case in point. There was this gentleman, he was trying to lose weight. His big problem was he loved donuts. But he made a deal with God. You know, you make deals with God. And he said, Lord, it's going to be tough. I'm going to be driving by this donut shop in a few minutes. You know my weaknesses. Lord, if you want me to stop there, this is in your hands now, and you want me to have a donut, provide a parking space, not on the side of the building, but right in front of the donut shop, a parking space. And the Lord did. There was an opening right there. He told his friend about how this all worked out. He knew this was of the Lord. He said, you know, God wanted me to stop there. He provided a parking space right in front of the donut shop, like I prayed for. It only took me 10 times to drive around the donut shop before the space opened up. Yeah, that's kind of manipulating God to get what you want. That's not a good thing. So we have to be careful. That is not what Eliezer is doing here. Look at verse 15. And it happened. I love that. Boom. It happened. Before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. So this is Abraham's brother's granddaughter. She comes to the well. And sometimes God answers our prayers really fast, doesn't he? He did it right here. It's like he prayed and boom, there's Rebekah. Wow, that is good. But sometimes it takes time. You know, Isaiah 65:24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Yeah, sometimes that's how God works. You know, sometimes it takes longer. Abraham waited 25 years to have a son with Sarah. He was praying that time, 25 years. Now here, all of a sudden, bam, right? And I'm sure Eliezer was excited seeing the hand of God working that quickly. But he wanted to be sure. So verse 16 says, now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she hastened and let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all the camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Eliezer's not jumping on this. He's not rushing into it. He wants to be sure. I mean, everything is pointing in the right direction, right? But he still wants to wait to see if this is the right one. And here's Rebekah. She says, here's a drink. Hey, and I'm also going to give a drink to your camels. Seems like the right one. But again, verse 21, the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He's still waiting. Is this the right one? Beautiful outwardly. But what about that inward character, that inward beauty? And God today still looks for people who have servants' hearts that he might work through. He's not looking for beautiful people, but people of character, people who are willing to serve him faithfully and not half-heartedly or just when they have the time or it's easy to do. You know, you look at Hollywood and, you know, some of these facelifts or Botox injections, you go, man, that is bad. We're all going to get old. You know, we're not, I don't look like I when I was 18. Not even close. But what about the inward character? All those years that I've spent with the Lord, is that shining through? Because that's the most important thing for us. You know, are we willing to have a servant's heart? You know, Jesus said, or Mark tells us in Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. The Lord was willing. And I 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You know what's interesting about that? Is he's not looking for strong people. He's looking at for willful people, people who have a willful heart, who want to serve. Because our strength comes from him, not from ourselves. If we think we can do it, God doesn't really want to use us. He wants to look at David against Goliath. David trusted in the Lord. He gave all glory to the Lord. He should have never been able to beat Goliath, but he said in the power of God. And that's how we should look. Also, we're told that Rebecca was a virgin. Why is that so important? Rebecca is a type of the church. And we see in the New Testament that the church is called what? The virgin bride of Christ. So I think that fits perfectly. I think the Holy Spirit edits this, and it's true, she was a virgin, but it fits what the church is all about. Look at verse 22. So it was when the camels had finished drinking, the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Michael's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told those of her mother's house these things. So the servant is now convinced. Eliezer is convinced that she's the one, a descendant of Abraham's brother and a woman of character. And he says, is there room to lodge at your family's house? And he said, "Yeah, man, we got plenty of room." And it's interesting, the Holy Spirit, or Eliezer, I shouldn't say the Holy Spirit, Eliezer doesn't take any credit. What does he do? Well, look at verse 27 again. Look at what he says. "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." That's so important. It's God who gets the glory through what we do. We don't take the glory. You know, Eliezer obviously didn't take the glory. Also, Isaac and Rebecca haven't met yet, but the servant gives what to Rebecca? Gifts. So if Rebecca is a type of the church, the bride of Christ, the scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, right? The gifts of the Spirit. And in Ephesians 4, Paul says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So the Holy Spirit gives ministries and gifts to the bride of Christ to make her more beautiful. And you can see Romans 12 speaks of it, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Ephesians 4, these are more ministry gifts. But Paul in Ephesians 5:27 said this, he said, "That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." You know, I love that. We, as the church, as the bride of Christ, the Holy Spirit is giving us things to make the bride more beautiful. Amazing. Look at verse 29. "Now Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So Laban is the brother of this young girl named Rebekah. And what is he focusing on? That is a great nose ring. He's focusing on the riches. You know, we don't think, well, I guess today we have nose rings again. But he's focusing on all the wealth, all the riches, all the things that Rebekah was given by the servant Eliezer. And it's a good deal for him. That's the way he's looking at it. And, you know, it's sad today, but people try to make a profit off of God today, too. Especially, you got a lot of unbelieving merchandise, unbelievers making merchandise and selling them. Sad. But here's the thing. Why would you want to try and make a profit off of God? Doesn't God give you everything that you need? He does. Really, you can gain this whole world and lose your soul. Is it worth it? No. Yeah, Laban was very hospitable. But again, why? Well, he's seeing Abraham as being a rich guy and his servant is willing to keep giving gifts. What's interesting is before the servant eats, what does he want to do? You got to hear my mission. You got to hear why I've come. Spurgeon put it like this. Like every true servant of Christ, he put his master's business before his own ease or comfort, even before the question of necessary food. When a man begins to think more of his eating than of doing the will of God, he ceases to be a true-hearted minister. Wow, exactly. Look at how this story continues on here in Genesis 24, starting in verse 39. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will... Oh, excuse me, let me go to verse 34. I'm jumped way ahead. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son, for my kindred, and for my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my kindred, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please, let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So what we see here is the servant is telling Laban and the rest of the family what this mission is all about, to find a wife for his master's son, and how God brought him to the spot. He was praying, and all of a sudden, there's Rebekah coming, and it just, what he was praying for just came to pass. And what a witness of God's power and God's direction for this family to see. I don't know if they saw it, though. Rebekah, I think, is seeing it, but I don't know if they did. You know, many of you know how God brought me up here from Chicago to Wisconsin to be pastor of this church. And when I told the story to my family and my friends, they weren't really moved by it, most of them. My church family was, but family and friends that were not saved, they didn't understand it.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.